Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Hello.
Buenos dias.
Isn't this buenos noches? Or no, that's night. What's morning?
Tardes? Yes. Buenos dias. Yeah.
I thought that was good day.
Well, it's the same thing both ways. It's like saying aloha.
Is it? I thought there was a good morning, a good day, and a good evening.
Well, buenos noches is good night.
Yes. Are you sure there's no specific good morning?
Well, buenos tardes is good evening. Buenos dias is the morning. It's
sure?
Yeah. It's buenos right. dias, buenas noches, and buenas tardes.
All right, very good.
Yeah, there you go. Hola, me llamo Joe.
Very good.
Yes. So, hey, everybody, welcome to our July 4th podcast, the traditional podcast where Joe talks about how awesome July 4th is, and Steve talks about, you hate America because blah, 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 blah. Not like every other European country hasn't killed everybody. But besides the fact, or every other country aside from...
Hey, everywhere sucks. How dare you discredit that we also live in a place that sucks?
I'm just waiting for you to go like, Japan has never killed anybody. And you're usually like, whoa, Steve really has eaten the sushi there.
Yeah, no, that's... I'm not right-wing enough to start denying the war crimes.
I finally bought a couple.
Do you actually unironically like July 4th? Because that's cringe as fuck, bro.
Why not?
That's fucking cringe.
How's it cringe?
Because the United States is garbage and liking the United States is cringe. Cringe.
That's not cringe at all. It's fun to go out and get drunk and have a barbecue and blow off fireworks. How's that
cringe.
Not fun?
Cringe. Cringe. Well, we should do a poll. We should do a poll in this and determine if it's cringe or not.
I mean, you can, but it's not. Because you could just, all I'm doing all day is just sitting in a nice little lawn chair, drinking some alcohol, eating some burgers, maybe some ribs. It's delicious.
Cringe.
Watching some fireworks go off.
Super cringe.
Listening to some good old fashioned country music.
Yeah. Ultra cringe. You're becoming a cringe compilation.
You're just not describing why it's cringe though. That's the problem. You're just saying cringe. I mean, I could say that about anything.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't need to be described. It's like what you said. It's like saying something is blue. Like there's no further explanation needed. It's blue.
Yeah, I see. I disagree. And also, you can't necessarily say that because not every language has a word for blue.
I mean, they do. Sometimes it's shared. Like sometimes, I know Greek and Japanese, the original words for blue was the same word as green. There's newer words, I believe, in both languages that are updated, an upgrade, if you will. But
exactly.
Yes,
so it's
originally
like,
there was the only ancient, green.
In the ancient Greek, the sea was described as wine dark. It's a little literature major for you right there. There was no word for blue. Anyway, let's speaking of cringe, let's talk about the awesomeness that is the movie Jaws, which is one of the greatest movies of all time, greatest 4th of July movie of all time.
I mean, Jaws is a good movie.
It is.
It pretty succinctly wraps up. I actually think it pretty succinctly wraps up America as well. Yeah. There's an incredibly dangerous, obvious thing that goes on, and the mayor's like, "But we need the tourists," and just like fucking lets it rock.
You know, I'm kind of with the mayor at this point. I used to be with like Brody, and like it's like, "What are you doing? You can't open the beaches. There's a shark out there." But you know what? I'm just kind of like the mayor was. I'm just like, who the fuck cares at this point?
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, yes, like, you know, the public good. And on the other hand, but on the other hand, for me, it's just like, yeah, I mean, they're going to the beach. They deserve to be eaten by a shark.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, what are your chances of getting eaten by the shark? What? There was like 1,000 people at that beach. And what? The Kitner kid gets eaten. So like 1 out of 1,000. That's not that bad of odds. I take
well,
that
like
odds
I said,
on the lottery.
Like I said, you go to the beach. You take your life into your own hands. So
exactly.
On the one hand, yes. On the other hand, scummy mayor.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he was just looking out for his constituency.
good times.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm all about it. But let's actually talk about. So originally I was like, that's a July 4th thing. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about the Dominion box, which I picked up yesterday. Maybe I'll talk. I wanted to talk a little bit about some more 3D printing stuff, or some more about some specials game stuff. But then, Steve, Ernie Gary Gygax Jr. Mm-hmm. went on a podcast, and he kind of just blew up gaming news for the week. Did you hear about this?
I've heard nothing. I mean, I knew the only thing I knew is like there's like a new TSR, which is now there's like two TSR companies that exist, and then there's going to be another. Like one of the TSRs that exists now is doing a Gen Con, but not Gen Con. They're doing like the Lake Geneva Nerd Convention.
Well, yeah,
that's all I knew.
They've done Gary Con for a while now.
Yeah, well, this is a new one. This is tied in with the other TSR. Because like I said, now there's two TSRs that exist. Because there was formerly TSR, and that went under, obviously. But now they're from the ashes. Literally, there are two companies named TSR, and like they're both the same. Like one is making like a weird like theme park live action role play science fantasy thing. That's the one that I believe Gygax is involved with.
Yeah,
but so, that's all I've got. I'm ready for this exciting turn of events.
So you know, you're right. There are two TSRs. Which I always found was kind of weird was the fact that TSR never, like, they never re-brought back TSR. It's just an imprint, you know, or it's just as a company, you know, it's a name, it's got a little cachet. I'm sure that the original founders could have found a way of making a little bit of money off of it, you know.
Well, I mean, I think they went bankrupt, so I don't think they could, actually.
You know, but I mean, you could always, you know, come back and say TSR stands for the Super... Rainbow, which Gary Gygax Jr. would not do, because Gary Gygax Jr. decided to go on Twitter and do an interview. He went did an interview and then went on Twitter where he just made really bad racist and transphobic remarks, right?
Oh, he doubled down? Nice.
No. He didn't double down quite yet. He went on there and he made those remarks. And then he went on Twitter, which if you're going to make a stupid remark, don't go that on is, Twitter.
Well, I mean, that's generally the place to do it, actually, yeah. I would say.
You go on Twitter and then you double down again. And you're just like, oh, Gary Gygax Jr., you can say something stupid, but don't double down on Twitter. That's the worst thing, because that's all people on Twitter want you to do is they want you to double down. There is nothing on there is no reason that people go on Twitter except to like, you know, cause people to double down on the dumb things that they say. So all you're doing is you're just buying into the bait. It's a trap. It's a mimic. You know that treasure chest is a mimic. You don't go in there. But of course, because he's stupid enough to believe and say racist and transphobic things, of course he's going to go on Twitter and double down on it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's generally what you do, because then you can be like, I'm being oppressed.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. And it's like, you know, you could just ride out your entire life and not have to worry about that.
You don't understand. The right-wing smooth brain is incapable of not blurting out their true feelings some point. They always eventually got to say it.
You know, you're absolutely right in that they have to say it. They have to. And it's funny because I actually literally last weekend was at a family party, and one of my relatives said something that was dumb. It wasn't anything like too like bad, but I literally said, I go, you don't say that out loud. Keep it in your head. You know, it's like, you don't have to share every thought that comes in your head like that, because everyone's going to think that you're really stupid for saying that. So it's just like, just keep it in your head. Just keep it in your head. And of course, but that's the thing, is that the you're right, the smooth brains just can't keep it in their head.
They don't understand what is accepted. That's the thing, you can have all the awful thoughts you want, if you don't say it, nobody will ever know. It could be your secret.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, it could be your little secret. It could be your own private little thought. And this is coming from a guy who has a podcast that's been running for 10 years. And I trust me, I've run my mouth off about a lot of stupid things over the years. sometimes I do look back and say like, oh, that was cringe. But, you know, it's just like, come on, dude, you know, especially when you're just trying to start off this company, you know, you're trying to kick it off with a bang.
Well, no, that's the thing. I do believe that there is a I don't want to say it's a strategy because that implies too much foresight and thought. But there is a kind of like you automatically fall into a support group when you do this. Because when you go on the rant, here's how this works. And this is like social, and this is like, you can, if anyone wants to like look it up, you can just check any big like social media person who has a quote unquote heated gamer moment or anything along this line, where what happens is you basically make a big declarative like boom that like, I'm a piece of shit. Loud and clear. And then like a bunch of people are like, hey, this guy's a piece of shit. And then they signal boost the fact that you're a
piece of shit.
They signal boost that you're a piece of shit. And then other pieces of shit are like, oh shit, he's a huge piece of shit. Let's support this huge piece of shit because we're pieces of shit. So you've got the signal boost. So other shitlords see an icon shitlord and they're like, oh, I'm going to start supporting that shitlord. And what happens is, unless you, there is some sort of line you can cross, and it's not defined. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the line actually is, because you'd think it would, you, whatever you could think it would be, it's not that, because I don't know what it is. There's only a few like shitlords that have fallen from grace, and there's no actual through line between all of them. But anyway, I digress. So what happens is now you've got your signal boosters, you've installed your fan base of shitlords who are now like, yes, he's so based because he's racist and we're racist, so on and so forth. And what happens is over time, that like, unless you like keep going, which some of them do, some of them don't. I think they only stop if they have like a PR person, like someone who's like, exactly, fucking stop.
Yeah.
If they're on their own, they generally keep going.
I'm sorry to derail your thought here, but I just wanted to bring this up too, is that just recently fan of the podcast and friend of the podcast, I should say, Pat was talking, put up something on Facebook where he was just talking, he was lamenting how kids just absolutely adore YouTube streamers. It doesn't matter how bad they are or how bad their content is, that they don't care. They just are absolutely in love with these streamers. And then a mutual friend of ours was talking about it like, well, they're just creating content and blah, blah, blah. And I stayed out of it because I didn't want to start something. This friend has had some medical issues, so maybe he didn't quite understand the point that we were making on that one. Is that my thing with YouTube is that these streamers and YouTubers is that they don't have a PR person. There's no studio behind them, so not only is their content questionable in terms of content, yes, they're putting something out there, but is it actually art? Is it actually anything entertaining? You know, that's up for debate, but they don't have anybody who's sitting there going, you can't say that, which is
right.
You know what? In this day and age, I have learned that sometimes you do need a studio to sit there and go, you can't do that.
Yes. Because
I've seen enough things where people don't have that little studio behind them saying, you can't do that, where I've learned that it's just like, oh, this is just shit. It's shit content because there's no one actually saying, you can't put that out there. It's shit content. Like, if there's someone out there saying that shit content, you can't put that out there, maybe they wouldn't put it out there and maybe they put some extra effort into it. But no, we end up with fucking a guy sitting on a computer talking about memes that he saw on Reddit. You know, it's like, fuck this. This ain't art.
But anyway, I mean, I'll sit on a computer and talk about memes I've seen on Reddit.
Well, yeah, exactly.
but so
it's calling it art.
No, I would not call that art. I would call that, it could certainly be entertaining, but I wouldn't call it art, but yeah. I digress. So you've got like, so you basically recruit a bunch of shitlords. And then if you're popular enough, if you let that fall into the background radiation, you've got the shitlords who automatically, like whether or not you intend it or not, or whether or not you truly believe it or not, you have an army of people who are like, he's secretly one of us, gobble, 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 gobble. And then if that falls in the background radiation, you might be able to pick up, you know, the uninvolved. Like, I'll just use the biggest example, and you brought up a YouTube streamer, so I'll use a perfect example. PewDiePie, PewDiePie. He's the perfect example. He's the one who dropped anti-Semitic remarks and dropped the N-bomb. He's still the most subscribed person on YouTube. He's still a multimillionaire. He makes a fucking fortune constantly every day, and he just makes a shit ton of money. And what? How did he do it? Like I said, he had his quote unquote heated gamer moments, and then retracted it, installed a got huge controversy. You know, it's the old adage: it's no publicity is bad publicity, and eventually you get people who forget about it, don't care about it, don't know about it, and then like you know they're the popularity maintains because you don't keep it going. Like he doesn't say racist shit every day.
Yeah, it's not like
the difference.
It's not like Arch, who purposely now has doubled down on the racism and just talks about it in every fucking cast.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like you can use being controversial and bigoted to actually boost your social media performance. If you wanted to apply it as an actual strategy, the key is you can ignore it, or you can double down, or you can do the apology tour, whatever you prefer. But I mean, to put in it, because anyone who's not familiar with like some of the many dramatic bullshits that PewDiePie has done, one of the things he did is he after his anti-Semitic remarks, he pledged he was going to donate to some Jewish charity, and then later on determined that this charity was quote unquote no good, and announced he was retracting his donation while wearing a black tracksuit with an iron cross on it. So like, yeah. There's still people to this day who will defend and be like, no, that's not the Iron Cross. That was this other thing. It means something different in Sweden. they reach so far. Because if people are liked, and that's the other thing too. Like with Gygax, he's a nobody. Like he's all he's got is his dad's name.
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah.
Like he's a nobody. Nobody's gonna like him. Like based on like he's got no like pre-installed fan base of a bunch of people who already like him. So his controversial comments could end up burying him, his company. Who knows? But like I said, he's a fucking tabletop gamer from Wisconsin. I would be shocked if he wasn't racist. So it's like. And, you know, that's like the stand. That's like that. That's like, huh? Okay, yeah, that's standard. It's like, yeah, a sky is still blue. spinach still green. It's just one of those things. Where it's like, yeah, okay, I'm not surprised. But he doesn't have like a huge pre-installed fan base to immediately rush to his defense and be like, oh, he's a poor little baby. He doesn't understand what he's saying.
I disagree in that because I think he does have a pre-installed fan base because of his dad's name. Now, only because people are fucking stupid, Steve.
Well, I mean size. This all comes down to size.
I mean, but even still, like size-wise, like the Gygax name carries a lot of fucking weight, and people's last names carry a lot of weight. Like, look at fucking how many Kennedys have we elected?
Oh, sure. I'm not discrediting that. You're definitely not entirely wrong. I'm saying like there is all of this is one, the boiled down point is I don't know how big his pre-installed fan base is. I don't know how big riding on his father's coattails. I don't know how big that is, but there is so this will be interesting to watch if anyone wants to follow it, because you can try and I've tried to figure out if there's an actual like through line or like a specific threshold of how many people you need to already have like behind you for this to like this kind of stuff to not affect you or give you a boost. Let's say if your fan base is huge, like really, really big, you can kind of just like it doesn't matter. Like you just get uplifted no matter what. But there's definitely some number. So we'll have to see. Like we'll see in a year We have to retouch this in a year. So next July 4th weekend, we got to check in with Gygax Jr. and see where the river has taken him at this point.
So this is actually fairly interesting. So I was looking over this in that while we were talking, I was kind of like seeing if I could figure out what's going on with the TSR.
I couldn't. I looked it up. I couldn't. I was like, what the fuck is going on with this?
Yeah. So in 2011, a guy found out that TSR's trademark had expired and he bought it up. And he wanted to launch a new company with Gygax's sons, Luke and Ernie, and some of the other contributors from the past. But I guess that there was a trademark dispute with Gary Gygax's widow and like the kids, so they're fighting about that. So it's like, so now there's TSR Games and TSR Dot Games.
Yes, yeah, that's why I remember the websites were almost identical.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and then of course Wizards of the Brand, who own Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes, that's the thing too. That's funny. Is like you have people fighting over TSR, which for all intents and purposes is meaningless because the important part of TSR is owned by fucking Hasbro, which is a multi-billion-dollar company.
Yeah. So Hasbro is like sitting there, like Homer, like the golden Homer, like ha ha ha.
Yes, exactly. It's two rats. It's two plague-ridden rats fighting over like a piece of moldy cheese, and you have the giant golden Homer laughing. At their struggle.
Like what does TSR have left? Like Star Frontiers? Like, is that it? Like, I'm trying to think of like games that TSR did that they might.
I believe the idea is to use the familiarity yeah. of the name to launch new games, because that's what the other, like I said, that one, that weird like fucking LARP theme park game that is happening, like that's a real thing. Like I was not just like, you know, doing a normal rant rave about it. Like that's an actual thing that the new TSR company is doing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't doubt it. I mean, that's the thing, is like in this day and age, to leave a brand on the table is very, very odd. Like, and I say that because this, you know, in 2000, you know,
there's a huge exception. What? You know what it is?
What?
Game of Thrones.
Well, I mean, but that's there's a difference in that. Game of Thrones right now is toxic, but you know, as soon as Martin gets off of his ass and actually prints that next book, not the last book, his next book, a lot of that is going to go away.
You think so?
Yeah, I know so. Well, also you got to remember that people have the attention spans of goldfish. It's the reason why, like, when this podcast started off, we were like, yay, GW. And then like 2 years later, we were like, fuck GW. And now we're like, yay, GW.
As a goldfish owner, I think goldfish have a better attention span than those people.
I'm sure, like, to compare goldfish to a human being is a disservice to goldfish.
That's true.
But as I'm saying, it's like most people, like, everyone's always going to say like, oh, yeah, that show was shit. But you give it a few years. I mean, look at what people fucking do with the prequels, man.
It's true. The thing with the prequels, though, this is something I think about Star Wars, though, with prequels and Star Wars specifically, because it's primo children's entertainment. You have people who don't have any attachment to the franchise whatsoever or any expectation for the franchise whatsoever, literally starting their exposure to Star Wars with the prequels. Yeah. So like they're bad, but are they bad from the perspective of watching them as a kid's movie? I don't know. They're probably not. They're probably not bad if you watch them from the perspective of just being like, this is a child's film. Like, this is a film for children. Are they bad if you look at them? It's really hard for me to do that because I was too old to have watched them under that.
You're too old to have watched them, ironically.
Yes. Yes.
what I say is that, and you know, probably someone else has said this at some point or another. Is that you look at the original trilogy. The original trilogy had decent acting. It had a decent story. It had decent dialogue, but it was very straightforward. It was very much a children's movie for children with, you know, that that people just loved, right? It, it didn't have great.
Or would we say? I would push back just a tiny bit, and I would argue that the original trilogy is not quite a children's movie, but more of an all ages film.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, okay. So, but I mean, it's mostly a children's movie, dude. There's fucking Ewoks.
Mostly is I will cede mostly, yes. But I mean, I'm gonna have, like Toy Story is an all ages film. Like it's for kids, but an adult can watch Toy Story and take something away differently than a child can, and still enjoy the movie. It's not like watching fucking Boba or any of those like weird like literal children's content on Netflix. Like an adult can't get anything from that other than insanity.
Yeah, I mean those are actually created by the old ones to cause mass insanity in humanity.
That's you know what, I believe it.
but then you have the sequel trilogy, which just came out right now, which had really good acting, terrible and really decent directing, and terrible dialogue, like the worst writing and that I've ever seen.
Like somehow Palpatine has returned.
That's the most you know what, I will put money down in 10 years that'll be probably one of the most memed lines of all time in Star Wars.
I think it already is.
I love it so much because it's,
I think it already is because I'm pretty sure I've already seen it in like a bunch of stuff that's completely unrelated to Star Wars.
And it's so good. It's such a good line. Just because of like how stupid and like bizarrely, like they thought that they could just do this in a movie and people just wouldn't notice. But then you have the original, the prequels, which had Ewan McGregor, and that's it.
it's true. Ewan McGregor is very good in those films. Not gonna lie. Even delivering his like mediocre lines, not that his delivery is mediocre, but the lines are written in a mediocre way.
Oh yeah.
He did a really good job.
But
like, don't get it twisted. Those movies are all terrible. But Ewan McGregor, definitely a shining point in those films.
Ewan McGregor.
That's probably just because he's charming,
and you know, and he just had his a child with his girlfriend. So good for you, Ewan McGregor. Good for you.
Actually, it reminds me of Birds of Prey because, like, Ewan McGregor, absolute shining point of that film.
Well, yeah, he ended up dating Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who he met during the film. So good for them, and they have the child together. No, he met her when he was filming Fargo. But they were in Birds of Prey together. I actually really liked Birds of Prey. The ending fell apart for me, but whatever.
I thought it was fine.
I didn't
get the level of hate it got. I was just like, I mean, like it was like people were really hating on that movie, and I was just like, I don't know, it wasn't that bad. Like compared to like Suicide Squad, where like I liked Suicide Squad, but I could absolutely completely understand and agree with most of the points where the people were hating on that movie. With Birds of Prey, I didn't really get the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. People are people gonna hate. That's the thing. And no one hates a Star Wars more than a Star Wars fan.
It's true. That's why I always talk about fighting games. Nobody hates fighting games more than fighting games players.
Yeah. I mean, I think that goes for anything in this day and age, which is part of the problem is that
nobody hates the thing they like more than the people who like the thing.
but that's the honest to God truth. It's like the
kind of right.
Like fandom is the worst. It's the absolute worst, which is why it's like,
I think every fandom is an Ouroboros. Now that I think about it.
It's absolutely true. And like, yeah. But I tend to think of like this podcast in particular is that, you know, we've gone through our phases of hate, you know, like where we hate something. It's us fucking stupid, right? But most of the time, but like we've grown to just be like, whatever, it doesn't fucking matter. It's a fucking,
yeah,
it's a children's game for children, you know?
I rant and rave about a lot of stuff, but I mean like if anyone wants to get to the real heart of it, I don't give a fuck. I'm a nihilist. I'm a nihilist. None of this matters.
I mean, I'm not a nihilist, but it's like, but I'm also like, you know, old enough to realize it's like, it doesn't matter. You know, yeah. I still have to go into work on Monday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I am literally a nihilist. Like none of this matters. I don't care. it's just blabbing.
Yeah. We're just shooting the poops.
We're shitposting. Yeah, like we're shitposting. That's where we are.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't really. We're more interested in which of the Primarchs have cloacas as opposed to.
No, that's not correct. All of them have cloacas. We're interested in what each Primarch's cloaca is like.
Yes, that's true. That's what we are interested in.
Yes, yes.
That was the greatest shit post of all time. I don't care.
Yeah, it was really good. It was really good. That was very well done.
Oh, so anyway, yeah, it's just like why would Gary Gygax Jr. do that?
That's what like none of this surprises me. Like it's not I believe romanticism is a real, like, I don't want to say it's a problem as in so much as it's a thing that people really do. Like they project so much of what they expect a person to be like onto someone. It's just odd. Like isn't he in his like fucking 60s or like almost?
Yeah. I mean, like he's gotta be at this point.
So he's a fucking old, out of shape, 60-year-old white tabletop neck beard from Wisconsin. Anyone surprised at his like, if he had the opposite opinions, that would be surprising. If he actually came out and was just like, I completely support trans people, I'd be like, that is a surprise, because he's a, as I said, 60 plus year old white dude tabletop gamer from Wisconsin. So that's my big thing, is like, I think people are surprised by the wrong things.
but that also is like, I don't want to say it's a problem of the left, because it is, but it's a problem of like, I think it, just gamers in general, that they think that, oh, this person is going to share all of my opinions because gaming is super inclusive. Gaming is not inclusive.
I don't think that's a problem of gamers. I think that's like a human thing. I think it's because everyone wants, and that's why I think the, like, when people call them the crypto fascists, like PewDiePie, that's why I think that's so effective, because everyone wants to see themselves or what they perceive in other people. So if you're an evil racist, you want the people you like to also be evil racists.
Yeah. No. And
you've got to stretch and be like, and even if they've only barely maybe said something that might possibly be conflated as racism, you're going to take that and be like, he's one of us.
You're right. And I think, you know, I think that that's one of the things that, you know, I don't know how to describe this, but I think like gamers really think gaming is this very inclusive world, and it's not. It's this world of awful fucking people. Like, and I think, like, myself.
Well, that's the thing too. It's the gaming is for mid-30s white dudes hanging out playing games, which is, there's nothing wrong with that, but all of them think that it's a really inclusive thing.
No. I think that's what honestly, that's what gaming was for a very, very, very long time. And the problem is that the people who lived through that and have grown up through that, don't realize that it's changed. And now it is a very inclusive thing. So people have started seeing it as very much more inclusive.
I actually somewhat disagree. What I was saying, what I think my point on that statement was a little lost. It's a bunch of like dudes in fitting the gaming stereotype, all thinking that they're like real inclusive. Like there's an actual play podcast that is literally like what I just described. It's like 430 somethings. It's super fucking popular.
That's every fucking playthrough podcast.
No. Mostly like critical.
Is it my brothers and I, or whatever?
I think so. Yeah, because it's a family. And all of them do shit like I'm a straight white male, and I'm playing this Puerto Rican bisexual character who mentions the fact that they're Puerto Rican and bisexual every other sentence, and like, because it's inclusive. And I'm like, that is not accurate. what do they call that? They call that a performative whatever.
Yeah, I mean, but
the difference is now, I think there's always been a huge diversity in gaming, like always. I think that's there's no question to me that's always been there. The difference is now the players who used to be silent are loud, which is good.
Yeah, you know, but I think this is actually an interesting conversation. I mean, we're probably gonna get a lot of shit for it because you know, we're wrong. We're wrong on everything that we're saying. I don't think gaming was ever that inclusive because I don't think that.
Oh no, not inclusive. That's the I want to. Yeah. Yes, it was. It has always been diverse. Inclusive? No. Diverse? Yes.
Well, I mean,
you just didn't see them because you would never be okay to go to in the late 80s, mid 90s. It would never be okay for you who is outside of the, you know, pasty white nerd and your group who are all outside of the pasty white nerd to go to the game store and play. You would be fucking harassed.
No, you're right on that. And I think, like, and this is just something I've talked about this before. It's, I think up until 2008, you know, being a nerd was hard. It was awful. And like, and people got scarred because of it. You know, like I always talk about, like, growing up, I could not, I love Star Wars. I love Star Wars growing up, but you couldn't admit that because you'd get fucking made fun of constantly.
Yeah, unless you happen to be in the, like, the through line where it was just completely okay if you liked Star Wars when it was no longer socially acceptable to like Star Wars.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like growing up, that's what it was. It was not socially acceptable to like Star Wars. Mm. It was not socially acceptable to like stuff like when I was a kid to like Dungeons and Dragons. It was not.
Oh yeah, it wasn't socially acceptable like Magic again. Like now, I see like Magic is everywhere. Magic is a part of like culture.
Magic the Gathering is one of those few things that kind of came up. Or like
I had my Magic collection thrown into a pool by a bully. Like So like there was absolutely like that's something that like now see that's the difference between if that happened now the bully would know exactly what he was doing.
What I'm trying to get to with it is that it was not. And so that scarred a lot of people, and it created a very, very high tolerance and a high level of gatekeeping. Mm-hmm. No, this is my thing. And you have to be possessive of it. And you have to be very wary of other people who are getting into your thing. Because that is your thing. You have to hold it close to your heart. And it's very hard to celebrate with other people because you don't know if you can trust those other people to celebrate with you, or
they're going
to
ruin your thing.
Yeah, are they going to ruin your thing? Are they going to make fun of you because of it? So it's hard. It's hard for me to do it too. And I talk about this quite a bit with some of the guys I game with. And it's just like, it's hard. It's really hard for me to allow other people to celebrate the things that I love with me because I have to keep them so close to myself. Because I'm afraid of going through that trauma that I went through in my childhood. And, you know, I say trauma and people are like, oh, it's not really trauma. No, it was traumatic, you know, because I can't function as a normal human being because of what I went through as a child. And I think that's what a lot of these people are doing.
Being bullied for years is a real thing. Like that people like don't like they want to discredit that. But that's like a real actual like damaging thing that fucks with your psyche like long into your adulthood.
Yeah. And that's like, you know, like
which is why there are so many toxic nerds.
Yeah. Which is why there are so many toxic nerds. And that's exactly it. And like,
why the generalized toxic nerd usually skews older.
Yeah. And so that's why I'm not making excuses for these people, but I'm just saying like, this is kind of, a glimpse into their mindset. And so like myself, I've had to work so fucking hard to not shit when someone says that they like something, not shit on it. No, and it's true. Like, you sent me that meme, which was great, which is that can't everyone can't people just enjoy the things that they like?
Yeah, it was let people enjoy things.
Yeah, and it's like, no one with taste would say that.
No one with good taste would say that.
Yeah. Which is exactly true. Like in my experience with it. And it's just like, and I do admire the people who go out and, you know, they do fight for, you know, like, let's get rid of the racism in Dungeons and Dragons. Let's get rid of the transphobia in Dungeons and Dragons. You know, maybe the way that they're doing it might be, in my opinion, be counterproductive and wrong, but I at least appreciate what they're doing. Because you know what, I'm not going through and doing it myself. I've pushed off my activism. I kind of did that a long time ago where I'm not
good, man. Yeah. All I'm going to say on this subject is that I'm far more salty that DMs are forced to allow fucking bird people than they would be to allow anything else.
Yeah, that's I'm with you too. I think I sent you that text message where my friend got really upset because I said that there's only four playable races in Dungeons and Dragons. Everything
that's
else
right.
is furry cosplay.
That's fucking right. It's garbage. I'm so salty at the level of like I see sometimes trending pictures from the D&D subreddit of like parties. Of like, you know, like the makeup of parties, and I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? Where's the fucking dwarf? Where's the fucking elf? What is going on? Why is there a bird man? Why is there a rock man? Why is that man made of rocks? What is this blender of bullshit that somehow is a fucking D&D party? Like, get out of here.
I love it too, because you know what, right now, this is your Ernie Gygax Jr. moment. Is that people are going to get really fucking pissed. If people listen to this podcast, they'd be super upset.
Me coming out in strong defiance against the inclusivity of various races and deities. But that's the thing that bugs me. It's more like, for me, it's always thematic. Like Angel shared me, Angel Baker, friend of podcast listener. He shared a D&D character, which was a satyr paladin or something. They made a headbutt character.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is fucking stupid as shit for a player character, but for an NPC, I would be like, yes, that is a gung. That is an awesome NPC who comes out of the forest and is like, I'm going to help the party on this adventure as my like kind of weird satyr headbutting dope character. And then go back to the forest when I'm done. Like, I don't even like druids as a playable class because druids don't make sense as a playable class outside of very specific scenarios. Cause like, a druid hangs out in the forest, in the wilds, in nature. That's what they fucking do. There's no sense that a druid is like, I'm going to go on a cross-country adventure through like dungeons and cities. That doesn't make any fucking sense. That's not what druids do. No. That's not what they do. It's not what they do. It's not what fucking druids do. Like, so that to me, that's the thing that really like really bothers me about like the huge like mix of like random fucking nutmeg races where it's just like, what are you doing? Like, why are these like extremely disparate like people all together? And that kind of goes to the D&D world is like, there's too many sentient races. Like that's not possible. Like, there's no way
This is like your Mickey Rooney, not Mickey Rooney, Andy Rooney 60 minutes rant. There are too many sentient races in Dungeons and Dragons nowadays.
It doesn't make any sense. The only game that gets away with all of this and makes perfect sense always is Rifts. All of these D&D parties should be fucking Rifts parties. because in Rifts, it's like, yeah, he's a fucking Catman. Like, why is he a Catman? Catmen are on Earth. Like, yeah, he's from fucking like Earth 763, where like everyone's a Catman. Oh, okay. And there's a dragon in the party? Yeah. He's hanging out. What about that big mech? Yeah, that's a dude who's piloting a mech. He's just got a mech. Yeah. Okay, this is kind of weird. No. This is Rifts. Totally standard.
This isn't Rift. This isn't weird. It's Rifts.
Isn't weird. It's Rifts. No. Because that was the entire premise of Rifts, and that's what made Rifts cool, and why Rifts has a very cool world. The only thing that holds Rifts back is its terrible rule set.
Well, that's
but its
what I was
world
gonna say.
Is phenomenal.
I was going to say, like, I think the whole point you're making is that if one of your players wants to play a cat person, play Rifts, get them to set up their character in Rifts, and they'll be so pissed off by how hard it is to set up a player in Rifts that they will never want to play a cat person.
Yeah. Well, you could actually do, there is an actual solution. There's Savage Worlds, which is a really simplified gaming system that's kind of like a universal one. Very good systems. I highly recommend Savage Worlds. There's an actual official Savage Worlds Rifts supplement. It's phenomenal. It's super good. It takes all of the problems that Rifts has with its mechanics and replaces them with good mechanics from Savage Worlds, but keeps the dope world of Rifts.
Yeah, I've heard good things about Savage Worlds.
Yeah, I highly recommend that. But there you go. That's my D&D rant. It's just like they take away everything that makes I'm still in the camp of that you don't play a dwarf cleric, you play a dwarf.
Yeah, I
mean, you don't play an elf wizard, you play an elf. I completely stan the class race combo. I think that was the pinnacle of design, and there's no reason that should have ever changed.
Well, I'm with you in that I feel that the idea of having classes like that, I'm all about class warfare, and B, I tend to feel that there is a what's the word I'm looking for? There's once you introduce class and you introduce all these everything else that comes with class, it ceases to become role playing and it just becomes a game.
Yes, it's a game. It's a board game. D&D is a board game. It's all because you never hear like people are like, oh yeah, I wanted to play a Goliath because I think the Goliaths are really interesting and I like their lore. But they're like, no, the Goliath is the best. The Goliath is the best race class combo for a barbarian.
Exactly. Exactly.
I gotta optimize my build. So that's why there's all these stupid races, because it's about build optimization, not about role playing.
Exactly. It's about build optimization. It's about gaming the system. And you know what? If I want to play a game where I have to game the system, I'll just fucking play 40K. You know?
Right. That's the thing. Like all of these people playing D&D, what they really want to be doing is they want to play Hero Quest with more customization.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what they want.
Yeah,
they want more character classes available for HeroQuest. They're gonna count the squares. Their build is optimized. Like they've made some weird warlock that only is focused on moving things exactly one square away from himself at the end of every round. So it's really hard to get in melee. Like, what's his story? His story is he can move people fucking a square away and keep people out of melee. Like that's his background. He keeps people out of melee with his ability here. And it's just like, okay, and what race is he? Oh, he's a Quazgabalaka, because they're from this weird supplement book and they have an optimized thing where they get an additional cast for all of these warlock spells, so that lets me keep people five squares away even more.
Well,
I see. Were you drawn to the deep lore of the Quazalapaga? What's a Quazalapaga? Oh, that's right. That's the race I picked, because they have that rule.
And you know, and then on top of that too, you also have the people who buy into the memery around specific role playing. Like, I'm just gonna play a tiefling bard so that I can seduce everyone. Like, it's like there's more to playing a fucking bard than seducing everyone. Like, right. I get it.
There's actually a terrific post I saw. It was a D&D. It was in a D&D shit post. It was really good, and it was using it used a scene from the old Star Trek. Bard, I attempt to seduce the orc chieftain. Oh, rolls yeah. a natural 20. The DM, the orc chieftain is not interested. The bard, but I rolled a natural 20. The orc chieftain. This is why I'm going to let you take your hand off my thigh instead of shattering every bone in your body.
God bless the Klingons.
So like that's another thing too. Like that's how you should handle a player who's trying to bully you with stupid rolls. Is like, give them a very reasonable explanation of why their role succeeded but failed. So it's like yeah, you totally succeeded on your fucking seduction check for the orc chieftain, who does not want to sleep with you because seduction is not fucking mind control. And so the end result of that is that she doesn't kill you. Like that was your success. Had you failed the test, she would have immediately tried to kill you. So congratulations on succeeding your test and not being murdered.
Yeah, I mean, and I just feel like that's why I have such a hard time with Dungeons and Dragons.
I hate the contemporary D&D culture is the worst. And I'm talking specifically about how people play the actual game. Like there's a fucking podcast that popularized the term quote unquote dirty 20.
Ew.
Which is if you have a roll plus your modifier that equals a 20, they kept calling that the dirty 20, and that has spread. So now a bunch of people refer to I rolled a 17 plus 3, and that was a dirty 20. And here's why that specifically super fucking tilts me and pisses me off, is there's no meaning to it.
No, it doesn't. Like, if you're not rolling a natural 20, it's not.
Right. It means absolutely nothing. Getting a 20 as your score is meaningless. It only means that you got a 20, which could easily miss. If they have AC 21, your fucking shit missed. So the fact that you call attention that you got this 30 20 is irrelevant. It doesn't mean a fucking thing. It's so maddening. I saw that, I was just like, what the fuck is this bullshit?
But I think it goes down to it's we're just too old to appreciate this young man's game now.
I don't get it, man. I really don't. Like, I and too, like the nat 20 being like the always succeed is like the stupidest thing too, that like people will flame you and fight you super hard if you say that making nat 20s always succeed is really stupid. And you want to know why it's really stupid, Joe? I'll tell you why. Hey Joe, I want to jump to the moon. You can't do that. I rolled a natural 20. I should be able to jump to the moon. I got it. I rolled a 20. So you're okay with your players just having a 5% chance to literally do anything that they want to make up because they're just rolling a 20? It's maddening. I hate it, Joe.
Well, which is why my next D&D game, which I'll be playing in a couple weeks, I will be playing Jambalaya Hot Pot, my Cajun barbarian cook, halfling.
Oh my god, this is the worst.
He will be the absolute worst at everything, and he will just talk in a Cajun accent because that's all I want to do. I don't care about anything else. I'm just going to be playing as a Cajun barbarian halfling. He will be carrying an iron pot an iron skillet that he will be using. He will not wear any shirts, and he'll have a giant gut, and all he'll say is, I guarantee, and that's it.
This is a terrible revelation. I don't like what just happened here.
You know what, though? He's not going to have any feats. He's not going to have any combos. He's not going to have anything. He's just going to make some jambalaya. Jambalaya, I'm going to make some gumbo for y'all.
That's the worst. Oh. So bad. So bad.
Y'all want some gumbo?
No.
I got some etouffee in my backpack of holding.
This is terrible. Why is he Cajun? Why is Louisiana in your D&D campaign?
Oh, Louisiana is in everyone's heart.
Oh, that's the worst. It's kind of funny. I was talking more D&D talk with Angel. But one of the things that people actually want, and I figured it out, because I was listening to how people because he sends me a lot of like D&D shit posts because it makes me mad and he thinks it's funny. That's what I realized is that all of these players, what they actually want to be doing is they want to be playing D20 Modern.
Yeah,
they want to be playing D20 because like people are like, oh yeah, we made a cappuccino bar in our fucking D&D game, and I'm like, that's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard of. Like, what fucking medieval fantasy town is a goddamn cappuccino bar? That doesn't make any fucking sense. But you know what? You swap it around and you make a D20 Modern. Okay, cool. That sounds sweet. You made a fucking cappuccino bar. Like, D20 Modern has everything that the players kind of like just jam into nonsensically, like fantasy D&D, but it makes sense in D20 Modern because D20 Modern is essentially Shadowrun. Yeah. Where it's just like, yeah, it's the modern world, but there's like elves and dragons and shit. Cause like it's the D&D world, but you know, hundreds and hundreds of years in the future. So like the peasantry who don't have magical powers are using computers. and computers exist, and dungeon crawling has gone away as like an adventuring pastime, but there's a dungeon stadium. So like you actually have dungeoneering teams where you like compete against other teams of dungeoneers who like are rolling into a dungeon, and like people bet on you and shit because it's sports. Because that's what sports is in the future D&D world, is dungeon crawling rather than, you know, foosball. It's literally like, yeah, the parties are going into the dungeons like, oh no, and Abraxas has taken a hit from the beholder and he is petrified. Like, I mean, that shit's dope, and I like that. And that's the thing that like, it just seems just weird to me, because like there's no through line to the flavor or the lore of D&D anymore. It's just a gobbledygook. It's a jambalaya.
Oh, you talk about the jambalaya hot pot. You're gonna eat some good cornbread.
Yeah,
I make you a beholder po' boy. That's what I'm.
There's no identity. There's no identity to the world anymore. And there used to be. And I blame this on the standardization of supplements, where like everything is the Forgotten Realms, because that's the one they want to brand with. Like,
yeah.
And that's what I think the problem is because all of this stuff is in the Forgotten Realms, and it's just like, you know what made all of these various classes and weird races like totally work in the older editions of D&D? They would release tons and tons and tons of campaign settings. Like,
yeah,
Al-Kadim being dope as shit, and all of the cool, interesting stuff in Al-Kadim makes sense in Al-Kadim, because it's like, yeah, this is a supplement that has a very clear theme, clean ideas. This is exactly how it's going to work. This is what we want for the feel of Al-Kadim. Now, if they were to do an Al-Kadim, they would just release Forgotten Knights Arabia, and it would just be like, it would just be Forgotten Realms, but they also put all this random Al-Kadim shit in it.
Yeah, I mean, I think also part of what's going on too is that people are just not aware that there are other RPG systems out there.
Right, D&D is super popular, has 50 million players. It's the most installed game. It's the most overall advertised game. It has, you know, it's the game that's backed by $1 billion megacorp. Like, there's no question that it's going to be number one.
You want to fight against the megacorps?
I mean, you can't. You literally can't. If anyone has not realized that megacorps have already won and it's over, like, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Why play an RPG when you live in Shadowrun?
Yeah, exactly. You live in a dystopia. Like, you don't need to play a dystopian RPG. You live in one.
That's why people want to play in a fantasy RPG. Because they want to get out of the living dystopian RPG, but
they want to play in a fantasy RPG, but then they do things like install a fucking cappuccino bar in the fantasy. So I don't know what they want.
they don't know either.
Yeah, nobody knows what they want. I don't know what they want. They don't know what they want. Everyone's just doing things.
Everyone's just having a really fun old time. That's what it comes down to. You know, and you know what? I think what it comes to, what we just like, I think the theme of what we're talking about here is that we're old as fuck when it comes to RPGs, and we don't understand how these kids like to have their fun. And you know what? We don't want to hear about how they have their fun. We just want to be old and cranky. But you know what? We support trans rights, and we also support, not being a racist piece of shit. So
this is true. But the big thing for me for the RPG thing is just like, and I think that's what it is. I think it's because D&D has no identity anymore. It's just like, it's just kind of like globbed into a thing. And for all of these people who are playing these like, you know, weird disparate parties or doing the things like making a cappuccino bar in the fantasy, there are so many much better systems to do that in than D&D.
But that's what I'm saying, is that people just don't know that. They don't understand that there are different systems out there, or they just don't want to learn it, or they're like, Matt Mercer doesn't play the system, so I don't want to play it.
Yes, I truly believe that's the number one thing that pushes people to like where D&D is, because like there are so many people, like, again, talking to Angel about this, there's so many people. I think he said like 3 out of 5 players in his group are new to the game, and the 3 new players are all just podcast fans.
Yeah,
and they all play like they're in the podcast, so they all try to do like the same kind of like goofy shit that the podcast does.
Yeah,
when they could just be talking like jambalaya hot pot.
I would fucking ban you from the game so fast.
Why you gonna ban jambalaya hot pot? He just lost a little crawfish etouffee.
So bad.
People love jambalaya hot pot. Jambalaya Hot Pot's a national institution.
Records from that time are sketchy at best.
No, I actually am. Jambalaya Hot Pot is an old D&D character that I wrote up a long time ago. I've only played with him a couple times, mostly for just one-offs and shit like that. But when Dwayne was like, you want to play in this D&D game that I got going on, I was like, sure, I'm going to bring Jambalaya Hot Pot. And he's like, who's that? I go, oh, it's my barbarian cook, halfling, who's also Cajun. And he was like, do it. So I was like, okay, he's coming. I don't think people have any idea how annoying having a Cajun halfling will be, but whatever.
I knew instantly.
I knew instantly. You can't ban Jambalaya.
I mean, I wouldn't ban Jambalaya. Jambalaya is pretty good.
It very much is. What is are you allowed to eat Jambalaya? I don't know if that's part of your diet.
I can make a variant of pretty much anything that I can eat.
Yeah. I mean, you know, most jambalaya or most Cajun food is very pescatarian friendly. I think you're still pescatarian, right?
I generally do try to avoid any meat, seafood in general, just because of like, the seafood has, you know, there's all of the like,
well, yeah,
there's the issues. We'll just call them the quote unquote the issues. So yeah, that's why I don't like there's multiple lists of reasons to avoid you know meat. And I think, as I said, I don't do the whole like everyone should do it, because not everyone can do everything. Like that's the height of arrogance. But I believe that if you are capable of switching to a plant-based diet, you should. If you are capable. If you are not,
what it comes down to is that you and Jambalaya Hot Pot have a lot in common.
So like, for example, for the jambalaya, I think there's usually like sausage or like shrimp and stuff.
Yeah,
so
like, there's usually shrimp. I mean, you could put you definitely, yeah, it should have sausage in there, but you don't necessarily have to.
So
you don't have to have andouille. You can have some
I can do
sausage or something.
I can make a plant version of all of that stuff. So like I do like the Beyond sausage, and then I could do, there's actually vegan shrimp, which are really fucking good. I don't know what they're made out of, but they're good. And then I recently actually had lion's mane mushroom.
Yeah.
And lion's mane mushroom, I grew it myself. It was phenomenal. It was delicious. And fuck my life, dude. It tasted like a mix of, like, if you took like the flavor of a crab, lobster, and scallop and mixed them together, that's what lion's mane mushroom tastes like. It was amazing. I couldn't believe how good it was. I was like, this is fucking good as shit.
I love mushrooms.
It was a mushroom I never had before. And it's kind of uncommon, because I guess it's a lot of these grow kit companies.
Yeah.
Because they all kind of sprouted up, they all kind of sprouted up when COVID came and shut down all the restaurants, because all of these people had spores and stuff for these hard to preserve mushrooms, and lion's mane is one of them. There's a few others too. There's like blue trumpet, and like there's a whole list of them. And the reason these mushroom growers exist and were popular, they would source to local restaurants, because I guess like you can't, it's storage and shelf life for these mushrooms is really bad, unlike the standard like the portobellos or the shiitake or the classic, like all of the mushrooms you can go buy at the grocery store.
Yeah, button mushrooms, shiitake,
all the mushrooms you can buy at the grocery store, one of the reasons you can buy those mushrooms is because they have good shelf life, because they don't just fucking die instantly. And I guess these other mushrooms are a little more on the fragile, like in the time it would take you to transport your lion's mane mushrooms, the mushrooms would go bad. From what I understand, I don't know, this is not a fact, it just seems to be that way, because like I looked at all the various mushrooms they sold to grow and eat, and I'm like, I've never heard of any of these fucking mushrooms, like why have I never heard of any of these mushrooms? And it seemed to be that was the case. It's like they either like didn't freeze well or didn't transport well, so they're better to grow yourself or buy from a literal local grower. Like if you have like a farmer's market where someone sells mushrooms, like that would be like a place to buy it from.
Well, you know who loves mushrooms?
Me.
Jambalaya Hot Pot.
You know, I'm feeling that I have more and more in common with Jambalaya Hot Pot.
You do have a lot in common with Jambalaya Hot Pot. The only difference is Jambalaya Hot Pot is not a pescatarian / vegetarian. Jambalaya Hot Pot enjoys all food of all times.
good times.
Jambalaya Hot Pot doesn't discriminate.
Hey, did you say I discriminate?
Well, you did just go on like a 30-minute rant about bird people, so
yeah, well, you know, and also gnomes.
Also really hate gnomes.
I fucking hate gnomes, dude. They're the worst. They shouldn't be in games. They shouldn't be allowed. No gnomes.
I
will say that my gnome hatred, believe it or not, has nothing to do with gnomes as like a lore or a concept. I think they're fine. It's mechanics. And that's what made me hate gnomes, is because they're so fucking mechanically annoying, because their size category is so small. They fuck shit up. They fuck up encounters. It'd be like allowing someone to play. It's the same kind of issues that crop up if you allowed someone to play a literal giant. Like, yeah, he's a giant. He's a giant. He's fucking huge. Like, how is he gonna go in a fucking dungeon? Like, fighting, like, just doing basic encounters with a gnome in the party is obnoxious as shit. Like, you know, just because, like, there's so many modifiers and garbage.
You know what, lore actually treats gnomes really well? The Gravity Falls lore.
David the Gnome as well.
Did you ever watch it, Gravity Falls?
Which I have not. I've not. Really, I've heard, like, I've heard people love Gravity Falls.
It's to that point where the fandom has, like, I haven't seen the fandom like ruin it, but it's very self-contained and it's very fun.
I don't think fandom can ruin anything. I think the only thing that fandom can actually ruin is desire to participate in the fandom.
Yeah,
that's true. If you like Gravity Falls and the fan base is toxic, guess what? You can still just watch Gravity Falls.
Yeah,
like you don't actually have to care what the fan base is doing.
But what they do in the first episode, they have the main character, one of the main characters goes on a date with this guy who obviously looks like a zombie, and her brother is like really upset about it, and he's like, "It's a fucking zombie. It's a fucking zombie." And it turns out it's not a zombie. It's actually like six gnomes stacked on top of each other who are trying to get her to be their new queen. That's how I would treat any gnomes. Like, you could play a gnome, but you have to be six gnomes that stacked on top of each other that are acting like a normal human being.
What's that fucking character from BoJack Horseman? The kids in a trench coat.
Normal guy? Something like that?
Bill Normal guy.
Yeah,
Bill Normal man.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
and it's fucking three kids in a trench coat.
Or is it three kids in a trench coat?
Yes, they never explain it. It could be. Maybe it's just a really weird shaped guy.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know. That's where I'm at on on gnomes. Is that gnomes are okay as long as you. I like the fact that all the gnomes are normal names, like Bill, Jim, and everything like that, and they get the last
David.
One,
David the gnome,
and they're like to the last gnome, and they're like, "What's your name again?" He goes, "Shmebulak."
Nice. Yeah, arguably one of the most famous gnomes out there is named fucking David. Like,
no one
like
cares about David
name.
The gnome anymore, Steve. It's done.
People still care. People still care.
No one cares about David the gnome.
This fox is named Swift.
No one cares about David the Gnome, Steve.
I don't think anyone really cares about gnomes anymore. Not so much anymore. Yeah, Gnomeo and Juliet is a thing. I read a really long Tumblr post about Gnomeo and Juliet, which really cracked me up. I guess in the advertisement, one of the gnomes was dabbing, and it was an incredibly long story about how this person like really didn't like went to go see this film ironically with a bunch of people, and they were all just like, all right, well, we just gotta like it was worse than they all anticipated, so like they were all like arguing that they should leave, and then like they were like, no, we've got to at least see her dab, and I guess that scene isn't in the film. So they watched the entirety of this movie, and then it was just like this like fallout, like emotional damage that they all took because the thing that got them to go see the movie, even though it was ironic, didn't occur in the film.
No, and like I can, you know, I have to say, as a parent, I will tell you, Gnomeo and Juliet is one of those movies that everyone just doesn't give a shit about, right? Like kids, they like, you go, that's one of those movies that you take your kids to go see in the summer when you got them home. There's no real reason to watch it. But 15 years from now, when my 5-year-old is in his 20s, he's gonna be like, fucking Gnomeo and Juliet, man. He's gonna be sitting in his dorm room.
What a banger.
What a banger. And they're gonna be watching fucking Gnomeo and Juliet or whatever. And it's gonna be like, and I'm gonna be like, what the fuck? Fucking kids. And then you're gonna go, Joe, Ernie Gygax Jr. And I'm like, God damn it. God damn it.
Oh, it's good. It's good.
Because that's what it basically comes down to. I'm glad that we were able to fill like our entire content of this day with your D&D rant.
Yeah, I mean, it's been brewing for a while.
And it has been brewing for a while. And, you know, and as I say, like, it's just, I think what I was trying to get, I probably didn't come across as well as I wanted it to be, is that I have my own internal prejudices in gaming, but a lot of it comes from internal trauma. And I'm not trying to excuse it, but I'm trying to, you know, you gotta verbalize where your trauma comes from and why you're like that, and that you have to have the motivation to change for a lot of that. And I think that's what you need, Steve, is you need a motivation to change, to accept bird people into your D&D games.
Nope. Also, I have had motivation. And you know what that motivation is?
What?
I'm just never going to play D&D again.
I was going to say, like, you're never going to play D&D ever again, which is fine. It's easy fix. There's better role-playing games out there.
But that's the other thing too. Like, you can, like, I don't actually mind that D&D has moved past me. It's okay.
And that's exactly
That's the other thing too. People can't accept that sometimes things move past you. Like, you that's a part of life, man. Like, sometimes things will outgrow you. Sometimes you outgrow things. Sometimes things outgrow you.
And that's, you know, that's like with going back to cartoons, it's also like, you know, some people can't understand that, like, okay, Teen Titans Go is a perfect example. Like, it's not for you. Like, when people
are like, I love Teen Titans Go. I think Teen Titans Go is hilarious.
I think it's hilarious too. And some people just get so mad about it. And it's like, you got to remember, man, it's not for you. It's just not for you, man.
I think that's the problem, is like, people really don't feel that that's okay. Like, they don't, for whatever various reason they have, it's just like, they don't accept that, like, yeah, it is okay for this thing to exist and for you to not like it. Like, you don't have to get irrationally mad about the thing that exists. Like, you just leave it alone. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you don't need to care. Like, you don't have to. Like, the amount of, like, are you getting paid? Like, that's another thing too. Like, I always try to, like, whenever I get like too, like, mad, or like I get too, like, active about doing something that, like, I probably shouldn't be doing, or is, like, really self-destructive, I'm always just like, I'm not getting paid. Fuck it. I'm out.
And that's exactly it. It's like, you're not getting paid for it. So what does it matter? It's just, it's supposed to, like, all of this stuff is just supposed to be fun. Like,
right.
That's the whole point. Is it
exactly
supposed to be
fun? Everyone needs to remind themselves of a very, very good phrase that I use to myself a lot. I'm going to go, is this mandatory?
Is this mandatory? Except when you're at work and you're like, is this mandatory? And they're like, yes. And you're like, God damn it.
So that's definitely you know, that's the thing. It's like people need to understand and be okay with, like, I said, like, D&D is a perfect example. I am okay that D&D has outgrown me. It's okay. Because that's the thing too. If I want to play the D&D I want to play, fucking second edition is right there.
You know, and also D&D hasn't outgrown you. You've outgrown D&D. That's what it is. Trust me, D&D has not outgrown anything. D&D is a very, very juvenile game, which is fine.
I mean, all role-playing games are juvenile, let's be honest here.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of them are, some of them aren't.
Every role-playing game is juvenile. Arguably, the ones that try their hardest to not be juvenile are the most juvenile.
Well, I mean, like, but, you know, you got to know a lot of math to do riffs. And
speaking of Battletech RPG, my favorite thing about the Battletech RPG is how you generate your character, where you do, like, a whole history, but it's randomized.
Yeah.
So, like, you can actually have your character die in character creation before you get to play your character.
Yeah.
I love it. My character is in a coma. Oh, okay. Now they died. Oh, I guess we'll have to roll a new character.
Yeah. I mean, it's relatively ridiculous. Oh, man, we didn't even get to talk about Dominion and how everyone thinks that like, Age of Sigmar is dead because all the boxes didn't sell out. All the pre-orders didn't sell out.
That's good. Like, I don't know how anyone doesn't understand. Like, pick your battle. Like, are you going to be pissed that it all sold out and you couldn't get one? Or are you going to be Sky is falling because they didn't sell out. To me, if it didn't sell out, that sounds like they did the exact right amount that they should have.
I know.
If there's available product, if I can walk into the store and go like, hey, I want a copy of Dominion, and the store can go, here you go. That means that they did it exactly right.
Well, I mean, yeah. And it's like, just like, chill out, dudes. I also like, there's a guy at the local game store who works there. Not our friend. But I called up earlier in the week because I was like, did you guys get your fucking Dominion boxes in? Well, you know, we're supposed to get it in by Saturday. You know, we're only getting so many boxes. So, you know, if you're the lower on the pre-order list, I'm just like, did you fucking get the box in or not? Just shut the fuck up. I just want to get my minis. Okay. That's all I want.
I see you on the other end of the phone, like scratching the sore on your arm you've been scratching since Dominion was announced. And you're just like, you get the box seat, man.
Well, and that's exactly it. It's just like, I just don't care. Just tell me my plastic crack is in. Like, at least if it was Giuseppe would be like, no, it's not in yet. And I was like, okay, that's all I need to know. Like, I don't need this other explanation about, like, you know, shortages and you're only a certain number of boxes and whatever else have you. I give a shit about how many boxes you get in. Are you going to have a box for me? That's all I fucking care about.
Oh, man, that's good. It's good. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
That's why I love Giuseppe, because Giuseppe is so real about all of the gaming stuff. And he just talks in such a realistic manner about, like, it's like talking to you about, like a shortages and whatever else and like product ordering. It's like, he doesn't give me any of this bullshit about, you know, like, well, I don't know about this and this, there's that going on. It's like, do you have it or not? And he's like, no, we don't got it. Okay, cool. Or yes. Like, yeah, they short packed me this week. Okay, cool. I understand. You know, it's so refreshing just to deal with like the realistic end of it.
I always try to prefer to go like as I try to make a, I try to razor as much as I can because there's no reason to have the fluff in most cases. It's like if someone says, do you have this? The answer should just be yes or no. Like, you don't need to give an explanation as to why you don't have, unless they ask. If someone asks me if I have something, I will say yes or no. If they ask me why, I could give them an explanation if they want. But in most cases, they don't care why. They just want to know if they have it or not.
And that's exactly it. Like, I don't care that you guys don't. I don't care why you don't have something. It's just I care that you don't have it. And my other favorite thing is like, we can order for you, and like, nah, I'll just go somewhere else to buy it. They may have it, which is always like, I feel bad. Yes, when that's like, but you know, like 90% of my shopping is impulse buying. So
that's true. You got the itis.
I do have the itis. So it's like when I need my crack. You know, it's just like. You know, I live, I'm very blessed, hashtag blessed, that I live in an area that has a ton of gaming stores. Like, so if the one game store that I usually go to does not have what I need to, I could travel a little bit further to go to one of the other gaming stores. Mm-hmm. And not everybody has that ability, but you know, like definitely in the western suburbs of Chicago, I have the option of like four or five different stores that I could go to get something if I need to.
Yeah. This is true. Although it didn't used to be. There used to be quite a it was shockingly barren in our area.
Yeah.
I mean, for a long time, I'd say like the early 2000s, like, because I recall this because I remember it out like in that was like the height of my like wanting to play games and go out and play games with people. Yeah. And the reason I know this very specifically is because it was like every game store is 40 minutes away from me. Like, well, it doesn't matter which game store it is, they're all 40 minutes plus away from me. I don't have a close game store. Now there's like a fuck ton of close game stores. Like, now it's like, I think there's game stores that are like 10 minutes away from me. So like, that's a huge difference.
Yeah. And you know what the thing is that I have my places because I don't like most of those other places because I think that they're terrible and they're run by terrible people. But that's all game stores, so
yeah,
I love my local gaming stores. They're actually run by mostly great people.
I don't go anywhere, and most of the game stores that were run by truly, truly awful people are gone. So yeah. That's the thing. Like, it's not impossible, but it's pretty hard to keep going if you're an actively terrible person on like social media or like to your customers. Like, believe it or not, like it is hard to like keep your store open if you like act like a big piece of garbage constantly and you treat people like shit.
And to talk about local gaming store stuff again, guess what's coming back, Steve?
What's coming back?
The Games Plus auction.
Joe's gonna buy some crap that's been building up over COVID lockdown. Although lockdown is too strong of a word, there's no easier way to say it.
Yep. I am.
You're gonna have unfettered access to a year plus of gamers hoarding addictions. Like, this is gonna be the biggest auction of all time.
I know. I am super excited about it. Like there's literally going to be so much shit there, and it's actually kind of nice for me because we're looking to moving soon, and I have to get rid of a lot of my excess crap, so I'm gonna be definitely putting in a ton in there. And but you know, it's just I gotta, you know, start getting through it and getting rid of it before I can do that. But it's gonna be back. I'm excited, and I promise myself I'm not buying any new shit unless it's like something that's like super cool. That's
so you basically made a promise that means nothing.
Yeah, of course. That's what it's all about. Duh.
Very good. Very good. Hey, just wanted to make sure.
Yeah,
because usually what I would do with the auction is like, because I mean, when I would go, I would very rarely want to buy anything, because what I would do is I would set a, I've gotten much better with it, but I always kind of tried my best to, like, you know, even if it was sugarcoating, I would always be like, only after specifics. So like one year I was just like, I'm only interested in buying Warmaster. So like, there was a bunch of cool shit that I almost was like, ooh, I'm going to buy that. And I was like, no, I'm here for Warmaster. And you know, there was no Warmaster at the entire auction. So like, I ended up buying nothing and I left with nothing because of Warmaster. But had there been Warmaster, I would have spent far too much money on it. Well, so yeah. that's what I was doing. So I try to avoid something like, I try to avoid the like being the crow and seeing the shiny thing in the road.
You know, you're absolutely right. And that's kind of where I'm at too. It's like with my unfettered access to 3D printing, like I can literally print anything that I want that's, and a lot of it is far cooler than anything you could buy regularly. Like what I like is I like, what I've been really interested in lately is more vintage packaging.
Oh, sure. Stuff.
Like, and the funny thing is I just use it for storage, you know, to store my stuff. Because, you know, but it's like if something's got a cool vintage pack, like the other day, I actually found a Dark Millennium box.
Oh, nice. Remember
Dark Millennium?
Yeah.
They were selling it at the store for $10 and it was complete except for it didn't have the rule book. And he's like, you know, this doesn't have the rule book. I'm like, I'm not after it for the fucking rule book.
I want this done with the sweet, sweet box.
I want the sweet, sweet graphics on the front, you know.
I like it.
Yeah.
No, if anything was going to catch my eye that I really would like have, you know, to splurge on, it would have to be complete and it would have to be like an old board game, like, you know, a complete copy of the original HeroQuest or Dragon Strike, something like that. Like, it would be like, oh yeah, cool, I want that. Or a complete copy of Siege of the Citadel, the old Mutant Chronicles board game. Yeah. Great game. So like that's the kind of stuff that would, like, you know, I think is really worth, like, you know, hunting after. It's like, I've got no issue with people trying to hunt for a good deal on stuff, because I mean, sure, that's fine. But like, to me, like, I think going to the auction and buying like a bundle of like 10 Space Marines is kind of weird, because like I could just walk outside of the auction area, grab a box off the shelf and buy 10 Space Marines.
Well, yeah, I mean, like and people, like, they seriously will buy trash a lot of times.
Yeah, that's the thing that's weird to me. Like, but it's, you know, it's just weird to me. Like, there's lots of people who are like they think saving the $5 is worth the hassle of dealing with figures that someone else has put together. To me, I'd rather just pay the extra $5 and build them myself.
Yeah, to me, generally, I'd rather spend 13 to 14 days building it in 3D Builder just to print one fucking figure.
The efficiency is unrivaled.
So, like, right now, you know, I'm doing Titanicus, and I wanted to build a Sinister Titan, which is the Psyker Titan. And I was like, oh, none of the parts exist for the Psyker Titan online, so I'm going to build it myself. And so I'm sitting here for fucking 8 hours yesterday building a fucking Titan cannon like adding each individual rivet in 3D, and I'm like, and then, like, I'm sitting there going like, why the fuck am I doing this? Oh yeah, I'm high. That's the reason I'm doing this. That's the reason I'm able to do this for 8 hours, because I'm fucking stoned out of my mind and I could do this.
That's terrific.
Yeah. I've often said that when I am high, I am a fucking 3D genius. Like, I could build anything in 3D if I'm high. But like, when I'm sober, I'm like, oh, I don't know how to do this. And I'm like, when I'm high, I'm like, it's all like, it's like a beautiful mind. Like, I just see like the numbers flying past my head and like the shapes and like how to build stuff.
I think it's mostly because it's harder to be, I think it's because you're so slow, it's harder to be distracted. And that's why people can do certain tasks better, is because it's, because you're like, because you're basically, you basically make yourself dumb. So it's harder to like have your mind wander when your mind has been simplified.
Oh yeah. 100%. 100%.
So that's what that is, I think.
All right. So I think we're good for the day. Go to the Game Classy Facebook page. It's the best way you can get into contact with us. You can like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes, like, comment, subscribe on the YouTubes. You can follow me on Instagram. I'm Game Classy Joe. And once again, as I want to repeat on this, is that, yes, I'm fully acknowledged that I have my own biases when it comes to a lot of things, and I am working on changing them. You know, I don't want anyone to say like, Joe doesn't think that there's trans rights. It's like, no, I totally think that trans rights is a real thing, and I totally think that's, like, don't, you know, Joe's a racist. No. Part of deep equity is that you understand that you do have racist beliefs, and you're working on changing them. Like no one is pure. Like that's, I want people to understand that.
And I want everyone to understand that I don't believe in anything. None of this matters. We're all going to die anyway.
Steve hates bird people.
I also hate bird people.
Remember kids, there's only 4 races of D&D. Everything else is furry cosplay. I really do. I fucking hate Kenkus, and I hate tieflings, and I guess because it's like
what, you know, what a lot, so much of that shit is fine if it makes sense in the world. That's the problem with like the robot people from Eberron. Totally dope, very cool in Eberron, makes total sense in Eberron. Fucking throwing them into the Forgotten Realms for no other reason than the fact that you happen to have the IP, cringe.
I really feel like I don't remember what the media is from, but I feel like an old guy like holding up like a picture of an elf and being like, hey guys, remember elves? Elves are cool, right? Like, no, I want to play my fucking half.
Elves don't have an additional flanking bonus when being a thief, so they're not cool, actually.
Oh yeah, you're a Kenku, and you spend the entire round going caw, caw, caw. Yeah, that's fucking great. I can't wait.
Actually, my Kenku has a modifier to stealth checks, and also has additional casts because of his racial modifier. And as you'll see, the cleric is not a dwarf, obviously, because the new Elysion race has extra casts in general, which is, you know, clearly superior, but also specifically a bonus once per day to divine casting. So they're the optimal race to play clerics. If anyone's not using an Asimaka to play a cleric, they're just an idiot.
Yeah, I just don't like it because I think Kenku are dumb. I think
they're fine. I think Kenku are fine if they're in like, if it's in like fucking like Oriental Adventures or some shit.
How does their how does their bones support their weight when they're that big?
They can't fly. Kenku can't fly.
Yeah. You know what? I it doesn't matter. They have bird bones. They should be able.
There is,
if you punched a Kenku, they should explode.
But Kenku don't have bird bones because they can't fly. There's the other, the newer bird race that can fly, that just has fly, which is the reason I hate that specific race. Not the Kenku, the other one. It's because giving fly to a level one character is game breaking. Completely game breaking. Like, that is a game breaking ability. The spell alone is incredibly hard to deal with. Giving it to a player who just always has it on because their fucking character has wings. Holy shit. Like, talk about there's a river encounter, and there's like, also I fly over the river. Fuck, I forgot. I forgot this guy can fucking fly and like fucks with half the fucking scenarios because he can fly. That's all of my gripes and issues with all of the variants to D&D always come back to the rules, because they just like, because it's always like they're trying to do some stupid shit, and they've designed their character to do the stupid shit because they like looked at all the various race class combos, this, that, and they're like, yeah, I've got this. And it's just like, this isn't a competitive game. Why are you trying to win D&D? You win D&D by having a fun time with your friends, not by having an optimized character who always does at the very minimum 36 points of damage around. Like, that's not D&D. Like, you don't, all of that work is pointless. Like, why are you optimizing a character for you're telling stories with dice to make the stories interesting, rather than you just like, you know, saying like, yeah, I win. Like, the dice can say you don't win, which is what makes the story interesting.
You know who's not min-maxed? Jambalaya Hot Pot.
I was just saying, it was not min-max, Gary Gygax's kid.
Gygax's kid is definitely low on the intelligence scale. By the way, I love that one of my favorite running jokes with Pat B is that every time I write up a Dungeons & Dragons character for him, I make the intelligence like one. Every time. And he gets so mad at it. I'm just like, I can't help it. That's the character that I designed for you. All right. Yeah, you can follow me on the Instagram and you can see all my things. And you know, I do have a lot of people who maybe, I don't know if they listen to the podcast or just like follow the funny memes on the Facebook page, but they definitely do interact a lot on the Instagram, and I do love it. And then that's like, I say, like, I mentioned them on air, and then they're like, well, thank you for mentioning me on air. And I'm like, no, thank you for listening. And it's a very pleasing interaction with another gamer. So that's
speaking of D&D, there's a D&D magic set coming out.
Yes, that's the other thing too. And there's a magic D&D supplement. I think it's already out, isn't it?
There's already been a couple, actually. There's another one coming for Strixhaven.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, magic, I don't understand why magic is doing all of this crazy stuff with these different licenses, because it's magic and people are going to play it regardless. It's not like it's any less popular.
Let me just immediately tell you, you're wrong. Okay. This D&D combo has, there are people who've never touched a magic card who I've talked to who are just like, hey, dude, this fucking D&D magic set looks fucking dope. I think I'm going to buy some magic cards. You got any advice for buying magic cards? And I'm like, oh my fucking God, this is going to be a huge disaster. The amount of interest that this set has generated amongst the non-magic playing community is unprecedented. This set is ridiculous. So that's why they're doing it, because this is what they have designed is they've essentially designed a gateway drug.
Yeah.
Because what they're going to do is there's going to be people who buy this who only ever play the D&D set, but that's still additional sales that never would have happened if there wasn't a Dungeons & Dragons set. But then there's going to be people who buy this to play the D&D set, realize that they're cripplingly addicted to magic cards and become magic players. So this is genius. Rest assured, all of these crossovers are fucking genius. Because they're getting people who don't actually, because you're right on the money about magic players are just going to buy it anyway because they're playing magic. They're already deep in. Like, they don't get, you don't skip buying anything if you're a magic player. That's just, it's off the table. You can't not buy. You have to. To keep playing, you have to keep buying.
Yeah.
You're right on the money on that. But what these crossovers and additional things are doing is they're bringing people who have basically no attachment to magic whatsoever, and it's pulling them in instantly. Like, this set is like, if you have a weakness to D&D, you're going to be interested in this set. Magic players are already going to buy it because they're playing magic. But there's also a third category where you're someone who already plays magic and D&D. You're critically destroyed by this set. Like, there's no hope. There's no hope of survival if you play magic and D&D. You're going to be spending a lot of money on this set.
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand. I totally understand. I think, it's part of the reason I could never get into magic myself. So whatever, more power to everybody else.
But yeah, this set's going to be huge. And this is a bunch of people want to, you know, just like, I want to buy the commander decks to just have the commander decks to play. And it's like, yep, that makes sense. Like, I want to buy a bunch of cards and make a cube to draft and just draft the D&D set forever. Like, yep, that also makes sense. Like, there's so many ways that this set is going to just sell to people who, like, may never, ever buy another Magic card unless they do another D&D set. And the demand already, this is the most anticipated Magic the Gathering set of all time already. So... yeah, I have to disagree with the why are they doing this? They're doing it because money, and it's a lot of money.
Well, that's the reason why everyone does anything is because of money.
Yes, true. But specifically optimizing the acquisition of wealth.
Optimizing the acquisition of wealth. Welcome, Ferengi.
You yes. Know?
I think that maybe Magic was created by Ferengi.
Maybe I would actually say yes, because the Ferengi's argument against tobacco was that it killed the customer, but if they saw Magic card, they'd be like, this is addictive and it doesn't kill the customer, perfect.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the thing. That was the one argument the Ferengi had against tobacco. They're like, oh, what is this? Like, oh, it's addictive. Oh, but it's lethal. Useless. We can't sell that. We have to. I like that the Ferengi are always, my favorite thing about Ferengi is that the Ferengi are always like, they're always the, you know, the unfettered capitalists, but they're always more moral than human capitalists. Well, yeah.
That's absolutely true. I mean,
I love it. I think it's great. I think that always cracked me up about the Ferengi. It was always the best thing. It's just like yeah, it's addictive, but it's lethal. You can't sell that to people.
I really should do a Deep Space Nine rewatch.
I fucking dude, the Ferengi are so dope. The Ferengi are awesome. I think the Ferengi are really cool. Well, I really like them.
I'm glad that they became more than just the Jewish stereotype that they originally were. So
yeah, they were really weird when they were first introduced. They were kind of like not. Like the next generation Ferengi and the Deep Space Nine Ferengi are just like, there's such a divide. Like, you could clearly be like, ah, I see.
Yeah, I mean, you're right on that end.
Yeah.
All right. So I did that. I said, okay, help out the podcast, like, comment, subscribe. So Steve, until next time.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Classy.
Later.
Game classy.